Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, nope. The righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell you?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book tomorrow?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Is it cool to be gay?
Nope.
Did he make us straight?
Yep.
Is the Most High plan?
Nope.
You gon' learn today?
Yep.
Do you understand grace?
Nope.
Remember Noah's day?
Yep.
Did more than 8 people live?
Nope.
Will it be the same way?
Yep.
Is a broad way to heaven?
Nope.
Is a broad way to hell?
Yep.
You choosing death over life?
Nope.
You gon' change your life?
Yep.
Do you love these streets?
Nope.
Do you see any police?
Yep.
Wanna get shot down?
Nope.
You remember Mike Brown?
Yep.
You ever read your Bible?
Nope.
You wanna know your job?
Yep.
You know you more than a slave?
Nope.
Don't you wanna be saved?
Yep.
You ever been baptized?
Nope.
Wanna get in that water?
Yep.
Ever confess your sins?
Nope.
Ready to lift your hands?
Yep.
Amen.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Simple life?
Nope.
Should I repent and be baptized?
Yep.
Will Amalek ever be nice?
Nope.
Was our Savior crucified?
Yep.
Does this world love the Most High?
Nope.
Is the wicked gonna burn?
Yep.
Will he power forever?
Nope.
Will we ever get our turn?
Yep.
Whose side to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose the Most High or Satan? Whose side to choose from? You got to choose one. Who you gonna choose? Who you gonna choose?
Got to choose.
Alright. You gonna learn today. Alright. You gonna learn today.
Alright. Shalom and good morning. Yahweh Bahasham, Yahweh Shai Baraka Thum to the 12 tribes worldwide. Greetings. You have reached another episode of ISBHPK Presents Bible Talk. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge, with school locations in San Antonio, Texas, Houston, Texas, Norfolk, Virginia, and Rochester, New York. Shalom and welcome to our show. My name is Mashallah. one of the teachers here with the ISBHBK. And again, our school location here in San Antonio is 4444 Walsham, headed by the brother Warner Iyer and the brother. They have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 7 to 9, and then again on Saturday mornings from 10 a.m. to about 2 p.m. During the Sabbath ceremony, during the Sabbath service. And then the school locations in Houston, Norfolk, and Rochester. If you go to isbhpk.com, isbhpk.com, it's a website that has been established, and you can find the times for the classes. Houston, I believe it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. They definitely have class, and they also have a summer class on Saturday as well, from 10 a.m. To like 2. No, take that back. Their Sabbath class starts at 12 p.m., 12 noon, and goes to about maybe 5 or 6 in the afternoon, because they do street speaking first. They do street speaking from 10 a.m. to 12 a.m., 12 noon, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. They do street speaking, and then they come back and do the Sabbath service from 12 noon through the end. That's in Houston as well as in Norfolk. And in Houston, you can catch the Sabbath service live on YouTube at ISBHBK Houston. And they're doing a great job with that. And you can catch their YouTube classes on Mondays and Wednesdays. All right, Mondays and Wednesdays. And then with our Norfolk location, they also have classes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 7 to 9. And you can catch their YouTube, and then Sabbath class also from 12 to noon. And you can catch their YouTube classes live on Thursdays and Fridays for sure, okay? But again, please go to isbhpk.com to check the schedule to get the times, as well as our school in Rochester, New York, headed by the brother Zion Aller, who was doing a great job. He used to be a relatively young man. He's been in the truth for less than 10 years, and to already be at a place where, from his diligence, from his service, that he is the regent, if you will. He is the bishop, the deacon over Rochester, New York school, doing a great job up there. He's really doing a great job. He's really coming in and handling what he's handling. All right, brothers and sisters, I am going to invite everybody, please go to isbhpk.com. And remember, there's an RSVP for the Passover 2023. There's an RSVP for Passover 2003. As I click on it, again, just as a reminder, this year's Passover, we're looking to congregate Sunday, April 9th. At the Dohiki Club, right? Sunday, April 9th at the Dohiki Club, which is located at 2705 Chestnut Avenue, Newport News, Virginia, 23607. At the Dohiki Club, Sunday, April 9th, starting at 4:30 p.m. to 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Dohiki Club at 2705 Chestnut Avenue, Newport News, Virginia, 23607. And if you come to the website, isbhpk.com, they have an RSVP to make your reservations, the head count, how many people they need to arrange for, how much land needs to be purchased, how much wine needs to be purchased, how much matzah needs to be purchased, how much bitter herb needs to be purchased, you know, the Passover meal as we get together, as well as, you know, plates for everybody, silverware for everybody. And I'm going to tell you the truth, brothers and sisters. If you haven't been to a Passover that's been hosted by ISBHBK Houston or ISBHBK Virginia, you're missing out. They go all out. They have live bands, jazz musicians playing live jazz. It's catered so that no Israelites have to do the serving, no Israelites have to do the cleanup or whatever. And it's catered. It's catered to usually some. It's funny. It's usually some Edomites that are there and actually doing the serving. It's quite enjoyable occasion. And then to see all the Israelites as we come together, the garments. As you know, if you don't know, ISBHBK, Houston, Norfolk, and Rochester, they come from some of the most fantastic garments that out of this world garments. They literally take to heart Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1, where the Lord says, "Awake, awake, put on that beautiful garments, O Zion." They do an outstanding job. Which brings me to, as you go to the website, isbhbk.com, they do have a link to Israelwear. I do have a link to Israelwear where they actually make custom-made garments for men, women, and children. Some of the most beautiful, fantastic garments that just outstanding. Just really, really outstanding. Let me see, it's not clicking for me. I know if you go on Facebook, for a lot of people who might be social media savvy, if you go on Facebook, at Israelwear on Facebook. Where is this at? Let me go down to the bottom. Fringed up at the bottom here. But if you go on Facebook or here on isbhbk.com, go to the very bottom of the website of the menu, and there's a subscription you can get. I'm gonna read it to everybody. It said it's time to get fringed up or fringed up. A perfect subscription box for the Hebrew Israelite brother. Each month you will receive a garment piece depending on your subscription selection. Just provide us with your size and we will do all the designing for you. This is a perfect way to be in unity with the brothers and sisters in other states that are also part of our subscription. Each month, everyone will have matching Unity garment pieces. Choose your fringe style. So if you want just a shirt, there's a subscription for $35 for just a shirt. And every month for the brothers, you'll get a new shirt each month. Includes border blue and the image, 100% pre-shirt cotton. Vinyl designs of the month, and shipping is included for just $35 a month. If you like a shirt and a headband each month for the brothers, a new shirt each month includes border blue and fringe, 100% pre-shrunk cotton, vinyl design of the month, a leather headband to match your shirt, shipping included. That is beautiful. That's dope. And then not to forget the sisters at all. The sister shirt is $35 every month for the sisters. A new shirt each month includes a border blue and a fringe, 100% pre-shrunk cotton, vinyl design of the month, shipping included. I need to get up on this. I feel naked, just to be honest with y'all, that they had this going on and I've been missing out. I feel like I've been MIA, missing in action. This is beautiful. So again, you can click, get your membership subscription. And for either $35 a month, $75 a month, you can keep your Hebrew Israelite style fashion up to par. All right. And they'll definitely take care of you. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Let me see here. And then Israelwear. Clicking the link for Israelwear. That's fringed up on Israelwear. Check out some of our handiwork. Every piece is handmade. You can request either a custom design or we can create one for you based on your color, preference, and style. Bring any idea to us, and we can bring it to life. Brothers and sisters, if y'all go check this out, this really is, I mean, damn. They blow me away. The more I keep diving into this website with these brothers and sisters, they blow me away. One of the pieces they have up is some fringe pants with the fringe shirt. And the way they got these pants, I mean, it's I'm not eloquent enough to bring it out how it looks. Please go to isbhbk.com, go all the way down to the bottom of the menu, and click on Israelwear and see what they got going on. It really is beautiful. I can't do it enough. I'm not eloquent enough to bring it out properly. They got hoodies. If anybody knows me, you know I'm a hoodie fan. That that I'll wear a hoodie in a minute. That is my fashion statement. They got hoodies, y'all. Israelite hoodies. And check that out. The top of the hoodie for the brothers, the top is open. In keeping with 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where every man praying or prophesying with his head covered, dishonors his head, that even the top of the hoodie is open. And that's Zion Allah. Beautiful. I saw that this hoodie at the Hebrew Summit. Zion is modeling that hoodie. I might need to go ahead and order a couple of these, y'all. I need to get my money up because I'm behind. This looks like bow ties. I ain't gonna lie to y'all. I think it's gone. It's decorated, and they have a video on here showing the engraving that they can do in metal and leather. That dress is a butterfly dress, y'all. I can't let Yesterday see this. That's my wife. She sees this. That's ordered. That's gonna be a done deal. And they got scarves. They got men. They got fashions for men, women, and children on here. They got leather vests. They can really do it up. Swords, the gauntlets. They have kids fashion toys. Not kids fashion toys. Kids toys. And then use some of our ready to ship pieces here. And they got some beautiful shirts, y'all. They got some beautiful t-shirts with women's shirts. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17 fringed out. Wow. Then they got baseball shirts with the fringes. Bible verses with the 12 tribes. Wow, that's good job, Kazaki. Great job, y'all. Great job. Let me see here. Hello, hello, hello.
Shalom, Mark. Yahweh by Shami Yahweh Rakta.
Shalom, sir. Yahweh by Shami Yahweh Rakta. What's good, brother? What's happening?
I just got in from, I had to leave early in the morning to, put some more applications in. And so
okay.
I want to apologize for, calling in a little bit late because I know the show already started at 10, so.
But it's quite all right. I'm just trying to do my best to try and do a commercial here for ISBHBK.com, the website. It really is amazing. We're just right now going over the Israelware and some of the garments and the pieces and the t-shirts that they have here for men, women, and children. And they're even making the foam toy mats for kids, for infants, to learn the numbers, the shapes, and the names that they can fashion out of. I guess this is foam. So I guess they can actually create things on metal, wood, leather, and foam, and actually do the 3D images also. Wow. Like I said, I feel like I've been MIA, that they have really put this together. Beautiful. Beautiful. And then again, as a reminder, again, for the Passover, which is going to be held, again, in Norfolk, Virginia, Sunday, April 9th, starting at 4:30 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at the Dohiki Club, which is located at 2705 Chestnut Avenue, Newport News, Virginia, 23607, being the address. And, again, they have a RSVP on the website. Please make reservations so they can know how many people are coming and make proper accommodations for those that are coming and everything. Wow, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And then as much as I'm talking about Israelware and the subscriptions that you can get, a $35 subscription or a $75 subscription for the brothers or a $35 subscription for the sisters, they're asking for us to push and promote ChosenCreations.com on Etsy, E-T-S-Y, on Etsy. That's ChosenCreations.com, all one word, at Etsy. You can do a Google search, and brother said, I'm really not eloquent enough to bring out some of the creations that they have on here. It's amazing. From very male masculine bracelets. I mean, in polished silver, polished brass, with giant lion heads, Manoah, the Shield of Davis. They got one on here with the Ten Commandments. They have a Ten Commandment plaque that's been engraved in etched in metal. If you want to get it for the house, for your home, they have a 3D alphabet, Hebrew alphabet, that's actually in 3D letters on top of a beautiful wood, looks like mahogany piece that's been stained with the gold 3D lettering on it. That's got the Hebrew alphabet, the Abba Gadda Hawaza. Beautiful pendants, chains. This is something else. This is a pendant. Yahweh is one. Yahweh Achad. Yahweh is one. Again, the gauntlets is amazing. The gauntlets are the arm shields, the armbands that go at the on the wrist. They got them in leather. They got them in metal. I'm seeing one here for. If you have the silver chain link bracelets or the silver chain link necklaces, they can actually engrave on each one of the links. They have one on here, the 12 tribes of Israel, and they got each tribe engraved on each link of the bracelet. Goodness. The 12 tribes, again, the Hebrew alphabet, with you can have your tribal name put on it if you know what tribe you're from. Lion of Judah pendants, 4-inch Lion of Judah pendants, another wooden 12 tribes, like the two tablets in wood with the 3D letters with the menorahs on it, and it's the actual Ten Commandments in the ancient Hebrew. That gauntlet is beautiful. They have, brothers, sisters, they have a 3D, I don't even know how to, it's a 3D, it's the gauntlets, so the armbands, leather, with the it's the menorah with the ephod of each one of the tribes, that's engraved and also in 3D. That is amazing. Like I said, I can't do enough service. I can't give enough props. Hope I'm inspired somebody. Please check out. ChosenCreations.com, that's ChosenCreations.com, C-O-M, not .com, ChosenCreations.com, no dots, ChosenCreations.com at Etsy, E-T-S-Y. Please come and check it out. You're going to be inspired. That's all I can say. You're going to be inspired. Decorations for your house, Tribe of Asher. Look at that. Another shield pendant, Tribe of Asher, Gad, Reuben, Judah Lion's Heads. Again, the gauntlets for Ephraim, for Reuben. Please go and check it out. It is amazing. They're doing a great job of trying to provide Israel with the fashions and keeping with Isaiah chapter 52 verse 1 for you, for the house, for the car, whatever. They do custom creations too. They do custom creations. If you have an idea of some type of jewelry or ornament you can put in your house, get in touch with them. They can definitely accommodate you. They can definitely accommodate you. Doing a great job. Doing a great job. And with that, let me go ahead and also throw out, if you're in the San Antonio area, to check out Eastern Fragrances, located at Rolling Oaks Mall. Proceeds from there go ahead and help keep the school running here in San Antonio. So we ask that you support them. They got fragrances for men and women. If you smell good, if you smell good, you feel good, you look good. So you want to check them out. Again, proceeds from that business help keep the school running here in San Antonio, as well as On the Mark Moving. They have a moving company that if you nothing is too big or too small for them to help you move from an office. They even have one account that my wife even helps them with, where they'll help you move if you have stuff in the attic and you just want to bring it down so you can sort through it. And get it carried away or what have you. They have provisions. They can provide that for you. All right. So that's going on. But also, at Rolling Oaks Mall, you don't want to forget that I'm a little bit more personally connected to is EO Pure Therapy. All right. That's what the brother of Bonabon and his wife, Quadishai, EO Pure Therapy. where you can get the latest in holistic. Matter of fact, I've got the Brother Gabar Kawa. Brother Gabar Kawa, give us commercial for EO Pure Therapy.
Oh, well, it's only the best. It's only the best, the best fragrance place inside of Rolling Oaks Mall. It's right catty corner to the H&M clothing store, and also to the left of JCPenney on the bottom floor, where we do have holistic medicinal oils. And also the best fragrances, both male and female, and even the unisex for those of us that may like fragrances that don't fit our gender. Okay. They do have the
that would be like Egyptian musk,
right?
I'm trying to think of something that's neutral, that can go either way, that's not really, we're not part of the LGBTQ movement.
Right.
But Egyptian musk, Blue Nile, some of those more natural fragrances that come to mind like that.
Amber White, Kush, the frankincense and myrrh also.
True. And one of the beautiful things about EO Pure Therapy is that you can get each one of these fragrances made into a custom-made soap, if I'm correct, right?
Right, yes. That's also some products that EO Pure Therapy in Rolling Oaks Mall does promote also. And they're the soaps and also the bath bombs. There's even clothing in the store also. You can get, from pajama sets. I believe there are even some hats. It goes way beyond Bath and Beyond. Did that sound good, Michelle?
Nice.
It goes
now, from EO Pure Therapy, go to support the Hebrew Israel Event Center. That is now also at Rolling Oaks Mall. So it's like Hebrew Israelites are taking over Rolling Oaks Mall. On the Sears wing of Rolling Oaks Mall, upstairs, is the EO Pure Therapy Event Center, which is going to be the Hebrew Israelite Event Center for Hebrew Israelite events. For any Hebrew Israelite camp group or congregation that has any event they need to put on, there's about a 5,000 square foot space where you can come in, and if you need to hold an event, it's there. And starting on Tuesdays and Sundays, I'll be doing an evening Hebrew class and history class there at the event center. Right, starting at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. At the event center that is sponsored by EO Pure Therapy. So we do invite you to also support some of the businesses that are being provided to help us fund some of the processes, some of the things that we have going on to help get this word out, help bring up the 144,000. All right. And my last announcement for this morning is also remember. March 6th and March 7th is Purim, which is coming up real soon. March 6th and March 7th is Purim. So we do invite you to get with any Hebrew Israelite congregation that might be in your area as we celebrate the Purim, which is important to Hebrew Israelites, important to our Israelite history, that it was the time that the Lord delivered us as Israelites from the destruction and from the death, the decimation, during the time of the Persian Mede captivity under Artaxerxes, with the heroine Esther, under the direction of her uncle Mordecai, that actually delivered the Jews from certain annihilation, right? From a certain annihilation. So Join us again March 6th and March 7th as we go into, as we celebrate and honor Purim. Cool. All right, brothers and sisters, it is 10:30 here. Let's get into this class, all right? Let's go ahead and get into this class. I'm glad to be joined by my brother, Jabbar Kawa. One thing I forgot, prayer list. Please continue to keep Tazapa's mom, Catherine, in your prayers as she's going through her some of her issues. I ask that you please continue to keep my in-laws in your prayers, my father-in-law, Melvin, my mother-in-law, Margaret, as my father-in-law has have a defibrillator inserted into his chest. He was hard going from hereditary heart conditions. My mother-in-law, Margaret, as she's going through liver disease, kidney disease, and some health issues. My brother-in-law, Shemaiwan, who is down there in Florida, who's recovering from some issues. Please keep them in your prayers. We ask that you also keep it in prayer. Who am I missing?
Joanne from my mom, who is...
Bring it up. Add
right.
It, please.
She has a congestive heart failure, like heart failure disease.
Okay.
Some prayers also. And really just, you know, call Yashala families throughout the four corners of the earth that need prayer also.
No doubt. I just want to make sure we get that put out there to just help. It says the prayer of the righteous availeth much, and that from all the type of things that are going on, that we know that Christ told us in Matthew chapter 24, that except those days be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. But that we live in these times of the fourth horse, the pale horse. In Revelations, that the pale horse that behind him followed death and hell. As David gave us the prayer in the 23rd Psalms about walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that we're in these times, that we're definitely in these times. So it's time for us to continue to come together as Israelites, continue to repent, and send our prayers to the Most High that he might actually come and deliver us like what happened with our forefathers in our history, in our past, which I'm going to use as a springboard to jump into today's class. Brother Kavar Kawa, could you please read Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30? Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30.
Fine. Chapter 9 and verse 30. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 30 reads, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiedest against them by the Spirit in thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands."
All right, what we're doing, brothers and sisters, is we're continuing in this series that I started. I can't remember when I started this series. It started as, if you go to any of our archives located at www.blogtalkradio.com, go to our archives located there under Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, or if you go to iHeartRadio podcast or Apple iTunes podcast or Google podcast or Podcast Addict, any one of those mediums, you can find our shows, our podcast that we do. You'll see that we started this series entitled Biblical Salvation. And we're just examining and going through what is biblical salvation. And yeah, it's been a many part series. It's been a many, many, many part series. It's not just a quick, two, three, four scriptures, and that's it, we out. But no, to really understand what biblical salvation is dealing with, that as we've been going through this series, that from the Old Testament history, the history that we received from the Old Testament and from the Apocrypha, that there has been salvation in the Bible before. That salvation is very steeped in the history of the Israelites. And when we read, again, the Old Testament, that's what our studies have been,
and the Apocrypha, we're seeing that, yeah, the Israelites have been in need and been necessary for the Israelites to receive salvation many times before. The cause or the reason for the Israelites needing salvation is because of our sins. It's because we kept breaking the covenant and we kept sinning against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We kept breaking the covenant that was established with the Israelites from Mount Sinai between our forefathers that came out of Egypt and the nation of Israel and the Lord God. And many times the nation of Israel kept breaking that covenant, and we kept worshiping and following the cultures, the gods, the ways of the nations around us. And from those provocations, where we provoked God to anger, we made God furious those many times, we were put in captivity. We were delivered into slavery. And again, if you go back and check out the series that we've done, the series that we've done, we've examined that. When you go through the book of Judges, you see that, particularly the book of Judges, that we went through eight captivities. And in going to those captivities, it's because we sinned against God. The nation of Israel sinned against God. God got upset with us. He got furious with us. We angered him. We made him jealous. And he put us in captivity. While in those captivities, we came together as Israelites. Well, we already knew we were Israelites. But we came together and we repented. We confessed our sins as the nation. And then we asked the Father for forgiveness. And the Father would send a Savior, a Deliverer, a Judge, to deliver us from the captivity that we were in. Now, one thing that's unique about each of those captivities that we went through throughout the book of Judges is that all those captivities were waged against us while we were still in the land of Israel. That we were in captivity or in bondage or oppression to several different kingdoms, but we still were in the land of Israel. We were still there. We were still in the land. Now, we were definitely being punished, again, from having to pay taxes and wages, and the land was no longer yielding her increase to us like when we first got there because of our sins, because of the things that we were doing. But, again, we would come together. We would bethink ourselves, come together, confess our sins that we were doing, and we would ask God for forgiveness and to deliver us, and God would send a deliverer, right? But now we're at the point in our series where, again, we're in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. I'm asking Brother Gabbar, you can read that for me one more time.
Yes, sir. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 30 reads, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them and testifiedest against them by the Spirit and thy prophets. Would they not give ear? Therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands."
And again, from our sins, from our transgressing God's law. And real quick, Brother Gabbar, can we get 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, what sin is? Can we get a quick scripture on what sin is that the Israelites kept committing, that we kept doing, or what it means to sin?
First John chapter 3 and verse 4, right?
Yes, sir.
1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 reads, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law."
Now, again, the only way that you can be accused of being a sinner, you have to be given God's law. All right? The only way you can be a sinner is if you're breaking God's law. Now, who are the only people that God gave his law to? Who's the only nation that made a covenant with God to obey his laws? Let's go to Psalm chapter 147, verse 19 and 20. Let's go to Psalm chapter 147, verses 19 and 20.
Psalms chapter 147, verses 19 and 20 reads, "He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord."
Right. So God only gave his law, says commandments, to one nation. That's the nation of Israel. He has not given his law, says commandments, or judgments to any other nation but the nation of Israel. From there, can we jump real quick to Psalms chapter 78, verse 5?
Come. Psalms chapter 78 and verse 5.
Yes, sir.
Psalms chapter 78 and verse 5 reads, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children."
So we're supposed to keep making God's laws known to our children, but we didn't. We got caught up into the customs, the religions, the paganism, the festivals of the nations around us. An example, what became known as Valentine's Day, what became known as Christmas, what became known as Mother's Day and Father's Day, even birthdays. That these were all the customs and worship practices of the heathen, of the pagans, of the people and the nations that were around us that had nothing to do with God. That had nothing to do with the covenant of how we, the Israelites, were supposed to honor, celebrate, worship the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We just totally got away from that and really got caught up and swept up into the culture, the ways of the nations around us. It said we were mingled among the heathen and we learned their works. So we really got really engulfed in these things and committed adultery against the Lord our God and breaking the covenants of the Lord our God. And the Israelites did this many times. And again, our punishments up until the time we're here now in Nehemiah chapter 9 and a few judges is that we were never carried away captive out of the land. All these punishments took place within the land. All right. So I'm going to read this commentary real quick. I got this on Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. So what it says, and this is from the John Gill commentary. So from Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30, it says, "Yet many years didst thou forbear them." Now this expert's going to give his commentary on this. He says, "Throughout the reigns of several kings, such was God's long-suffering towards them, or thou didst draw upon them, that is, his mercy. As Jerichi interprets it, he drew it out of his heart and prolonged it towards them," towards the Israelites. That when we talk about long suffering and mercy and grace, when we only look at think about grace from the New Testament, you're not going to really understand what God's grace really is. If we're going to look at grace, and all we had to look at or draw on is from the New Testament, from the time of Christ, and that's it. You really not going to have an understanding about God's grace and God's long suffering towards the Israelites, and what that really means, what that really encompasses, and how deep and how far it really, really, really goes. You're not going to have a clue. So understand, for many years, from the time we came out of Egypt up through the present day, how many times God has had long-suffering and mercy to the Israelites and keeping his word, his covenant with the Israelites. We're definitely being punished, but he's kept his word, and he's been long-suffering and continuing to give us another chance and forgive us. If you don't understand the Old Testament, I got to try to say this as straight as possible as I possibly can, as clear as I possibly can. If you don't understand Old Testament history, you will never, ever, ever understand when Christ says, when he's asked the question, "How often shall I forgive my brother? Until seven times?" And he says, I tell thee, until 70 times seven. When Christ come back and says, if your brother smites you on the one cheek, turn him the other. If you don't understand Old Testament history, if you're oblivious to it, you will never be able to really comprehend why Christ is able to tell us as Israelites, if somebody smacks you on the one cheek, turn in the other. Because you don't have a clue of what God has done, the Father has done, the Almighty has done, in turning the cheek towards the nation of Israel, in forgiving the nation of Israel, that we get so caught up in how we've been personally offended and what we personally been through, but don't have a clue as to how we have offended the Almighty, how we have maliciously spit in his face, and he's forgiven. And he continues to give us another chance. That and all it takes is for us as Israelites to come together, confess what we did, and say, I'm sorry, and forgive. There is not any type of comprehension of what God's mercy and long-suffering and forgiveness really truly is. Absolutely, a person cannot say they understand or they know what's going on. And I can see why a lot of the apostle was like, increase my faith. That you don't really understand or comprehend what the Father has done for the Israelites, for he's done for us as Israelites. Remember, even coming out of Egypt, we weren't even in the wilderness 40 years yet, and the Lord was so ready to smoke us, the nation, and was going to raise up Moses and have Moses build a whole new Israelite nation, that he was ready to smoke us then from how we are, our behavior and our lack of faithfulness and our audacity to want to attribute our salvation, our prosperity to other gods or even to ourselves. So this is what's being said right now in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 30. And it says, and testified against them by the Spirit in thy prophets. Now here's the commentary. It says, who reproved and admonished them, meaning Israelites, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God in them, who spoke in his name and what he suggested to them. Going back to the scripture now, it says, yet they would not give ear. Here's the commentary. To what the prophet said and the Spirit of God in them. We would not listen. We as Israelites are the most stubborn, rebellious, stiff-necked, arrogant, prideful people on the planet Earth. Everybody wants to take a look at the so-called white man, but we got to look at ourselves first. I'm going to go here, like what Michael said. It starts with the man in the mirror. Before we going to dare have a look at Esau and other nations about what they've done, we got to take a real look at ourselves by going back and studying and getting the history of the Israelites from the Old Testament and bringing it forward. Going back to the scripture real quick, it says, therefore gavest thou them into the hand of the people of the lands. Here's the commentary. People that were lords of many countries as the Assyrians and the Chaldeans. And this is where we at right now. So, Brother Barkawa, can we please go to Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14?
Con. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14 or 15.
Yes, sir.
Con. Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14 reads, but if ye will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if ye shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant.
All right, cool. So we went over this, my last class this past Thursday. We went over this. I just want to touch on it real quick because I went more in depth in the class on Thursday. But here's a reminder to the Israelites from Moses. To the Israelites, to the whole nation of Israel, all 12 tribes, Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, Issachar, so-called Negroes, West Indian, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, still called Mexicans, here in the Western Hemisphere. If we ain't going to listen to all and do all the commandments of our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and if we get to the point where we despise, I hate having to do it God's way, why do we got to submit? I don't know if I really like this, or maybe I like pork. Maybe I like shrimp. Maybe I like having birthdays. Maybe I like the Super Bowl celebrations, the NBA celebrations. Maybe I like all that. The Bacchus was really comes down to celebrations. I don't know why you were against it, but I particularly like it. So it said, if our soul abhor God's judgments, God's opinion, so that we will not do all God's commandments, but we're going to break the covenant, we get punished. Verse 18, please, sir. We're going to be 18 through 20.
Con. Leviticus chapter 26 through verse 18 through 20. And it reads, and if ye will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. And your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits.
So from verse 15, well, I guess verses 16 and 17, he gives us the punishment. Now, he said, now if that punishment don't work, now I got to get you seven times more. Now I got to increase it seven times more. So we get to verse 18. Now he tells us from 18 to 20 what the increase has to be if we still are at the point where we despise God's judgments, we despise his statutes, we're not going to do all his commandments. He had to increase the punishment seven times more. Again, mind you, this is why we were still in the land of Israel. This is why we were still in the promised land. All right? Let's jump down to verse 21.
Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 21 reads, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins.
Cool. So now we see the another increase. First, I'm going to punish you in verses 16 to 17. That don't work. Now I got to get you seven times more. Now I got to break the pride of your power. Your land is not going to increase. Your trees I'm not going to be with you. I'm not going to give the early and latter rain. And, you know, just a little bit of trivia. The rain dance that the North American Indians are known for, the rain dance is actually, that has nothing to do with the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That rain dance was done in honor of worship of the god Baal. That they learned that from the nations. That had nothing to do with being spiritual. Even though they had the fringes on and they got the drums or whatever, that rain dance had nothing to do with praying to and honoring the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or the Great Spirit, or the Most High. That is specifically aimed at Baal. That is no different than when we see the so-called Incas, Aztecs, and so-called Mexicans, when they were sacrificing virgins and offering blood sacrifices and killing their enemies to try and make the rain come. That goes directly back to the customs and the worship of the nations that were among us in the promised land. That now that God is not blessing the crops, the rain, so that the crops are now, you know, like everybody likes to say, so me and my family can eat. We gotta eat. We gotta get this bread. We gotta make this dough. We gotta get this cheddar. The reason all that is slang about money is around food, because if the rain don't come, your crops ain't being fed. If the crops are being fed, the sheep, the cattle, where you get your cheese from, where you get your meat from, ain't being fed. Where you get the cheddar from, they're not going to be producing. Get this green, or when you go to the club and make it rain, all that, no, it's done. So now the Lord is doing these type of punishments to us to hopefully get us to repent, to get us to change. Again, all this was going on while we were in the land of Israel. But if that don't work, verse 21, please. We just read it, didn't we?
Verse 22.
Okay, no, verse 23.
Verse 23, con. And if ye will not be reformed by me by these things, but will walk contrary unto me, then will I also walk contrary unto you, and will punish you yet seven times for your sins.
Are we seeing something here?
A pattern of
now
seven?
Now they've got to increase it seven more times. That if this don't work, I got to do it seven times. I got to get something else. If that don't work, I get something else. If that don't work, I got to get something else. If this ain't work, I got to do something else. Verse 25, sir. We're going to read 25 through 26.
Con. Leviticus chapter 26 and starting from verse 25 reads, and I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant. And when ye are gathered together within your cities, I will send the pestilence among you, and ye shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. 26, and when I have broken the staff of your bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver you your bread again by weight, and ye shall eat and not be satisfied.
Now it's going to be some rations. Now families got to come together and ration the food out to make sure everybody can eat, because ain't nobody just bawling out of control to where I ain't got to listen to nobody. Now we're going to have to go ahead and come together, and we're going to have to ration the food to make sure everybody's got something, because this was God having to increase the punishment while we were in our cities, while we were in the land of Israel, the promised land, the most fertile land on the planet Earth, because of our sins, because of us breaking God's law, us breaking God's covenant. Verse 27, sir.
Todd, Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 27 reads, and if ye will not for all this hearken unto me, but walk contrary unto me, then I will walk contrary unto you also in fury. And I will chastise you 7 times for your sins.
Come on, y'all. I hope I'm able to bring this across. Like, damn, can we get some, feel, you know how the rock says, can you smell what the rock is cooking? are we talking about, you feel me? Do you feel me? You know what I mean? Can we feel God right here? Can we feel how what God is doing and the steps he's taking, trying to get us to change? And he's having to increase the punishment more and more and more because of the sins of the Israelites while we were still in the land? That I only got to keep doing, I got to keep increasing what I'm doing against you because of how hard-headed and stubborn we keep being. Again, as a nation, we keep being this hard-headed, stubborn, that we're going to just do it our way or from the way the people of the world do it, and we're not going to follow God. We're not going to do it his way. We're going to keep following our own imaginations and what we think is right, as opposed to just obeying what God says. Now he's got to increase it. He has to step it up even that much more. Let's jump down to verse 30. We're going to be 30 through 32.
Con, Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 30 reads, and I will destroy your high places and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you, and I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation. I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it.
I will destroy your high places. I'm going to cut down your images and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. Everything y'all look up to, everything that we look up to, everything that we admire and want to be like and are inspired by, he said he's going to throw our carcasses upon our idols. The images of whatever that's giving us the power to keep going against God, that I want to achieve this type of celebrity, fame, prosperity, or what have you. So I'm going to do it this way. I'm not going to do it the way God wants me to do it. He said, I'm going to cast your carcasses, your dead bodies, upon your idols. And my soul, God's soul, shall abhor us. And he's going to make our cities waste. A lot of times we as Hebrew Israelites have this impression that being in the promised land, that we might have grown up in the ghetto, here in America or in the Americas. So we got like this Wizard of Oz type of symbolism of what it was like for us to be in the land of Israel. And we were in the Wizard of Oz. Today's color is blue. So now we all doing blue. Or today's color is red. And it was a yellow brick road. And it was just a utopia. It got to a point where even our cities were turned into ghettos while we were still living in the land of Israel. Because we still kept sinning against the Lord our God. This was in our city. This was in the land of Israel. It wasn't just this utopia where it could have been. It started that way, but because of our sins, he kept having to diminish it. He kept having to attack it. He kept having to bring it down. This was us. This had nothing to do with the white man. This had nothing to do with the damn Africans. This was 100% completely on us. And the Lord God is only trying to make us be accountable for our own actions, for our own thoughts, for our own behaviors. And we have been that hard-headed, we still didn't want to change. He's having to increase all this, again, like we read in Nehemiah chapter 9. Many years this was taking place. Many years it took to because, you know, at first, God stops the rain, cool. I got enough in the storehouse. I got enough saved up. I got enough for a rainy day. I'm good. I can still keep doing things my way. I'm going to eat. I'm still going to be good. But for to get to the point now where our crops, where our storehouses, our savings are now getting dried up, that now all shit, things are getting low, that now, wait a minute, we don't know where our next meal is coming from. Wait a minute, times are getting rough and tough like leather. Like, oh, wait, hold up. The ghetto, that, uh-oh. And this was while we were in the land of Israel, within our own cities. These were the conditions that we was having to live through because of our sins while in the promised land. This was going on. And the Lord kept having to increase the punishment while we were in the land of Israel. Let's read verse 33.
Colin, Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 33 reads, "And I will scatter you among the heathen and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste."
So I hope what we're seeing, brothers and sisters, and I hope I'm building this properly. As the Lord keep having to increase the punishment, the chastisement of the Israelites by seven times, by more and more and more. Now it's getting to the point here in verse 33 that now we're going to be scattered among the heathen. That now the Israelites, as this punishment, we're now going to be scattered among the heathen. That we're going to be kicked out of the land. That now we got to be kicked out of the land. That for everything that we're in the land, and for him to bring it down to where he had to bring it down, that now, and that still didn't get, that still wasn't enough to reform us, that now we had to be scattered. We had to be kicked and exiled out of the land. Verse 34, sir.
Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 34 reads, "Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land. Even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths."
Verse 35.
"As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye dwelt upon it."
Do you hear what the Lord is saying? The land can finally have rest as long as y'all niggas ain't there. As long as y'all, I finally got y'all out the land, then the land can rest, because the whole time y'all was in the land, the land never got time to rest. That is a heavy statement. That in order for the earth to heal, in order for the fertile crescent, in order for the most fertile land on the planet earth to heal, it required us to be kicked out of the land. Similar to how we look at today, the world needs an Earth Day. Right now, everybody's talking about climate control, climate change. guess what was necessary for the land of Israel to heal itself? Us to finally be kicked out of the land. Because the Lord couldn't, he couldn't make it rain. He couldn't bring the early and the latter rain. He had to, for the summers, he had to turn it up so there was more droughts, more scorching heat. That creates what? More dust storms? The land was having to get punished because while we were on it, the Lord couldn't take care. The Lord would not take care. He would not let the rain come. The proper climates, the proper and everything, just gone. While we were there, so finally he said, "Look, y'all got to go." That according to verse 33, we had to be scattered. We had to be scattered. Brother Gamar Kawa, can we please go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27? Just verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27.
Con, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. Reads, "And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you."
Cool. Let me catch what you're just doing. Real quick. I'm sorry. Read that one more time, Mark, and let me get this.
Con, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 27 reads, "And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither the Lord shall lead you."
Do me a favor. Break this, just this verse down for me real quick. I need to get my notes together. I messed something up.
Con, basically what the Heavenly Father is saying is that he was going to spread Israel through all four corners of the earth within all nations, mainly talking about the United States, because every nation is here in the United States.
Well, before we get there, we're gonna have to build up to there.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. So among the other nations, and basically, the way we were kicked out of our land, the way the Heavenly Father kicked us out of the land, is he spread us throughout and separated us, you know, from being around each other. But he said we would be left few in number among the heathen, meaning it doesn't get more basic than that. We few in number, and with all of the rape, robbery, murder, slaughters that we went through in the conquering of, or the being put into the slavery, all of the murders that we went through from the other nations made us few in number among the other nations, wherever he sent us. Wherever he sent us.
And we would now be the minorities.
Con.
Whereas we were in our own land, where we had an opportunity to be in charge, have our own businesses, have our own money circulate, have our own schools, our own banks, our own commerce, have everything. Now we're going to be scattered among the nations, and we're going to be the minority. So we're going to be, this ain't, being here in America ain't the first time we've ever had to scream and holler for some civil rights. The things that we're going through in America ain't the first time this has happened to us as Israelites. This has happened to us many times before. From when the Lord had to now scatter us, and he prophesied this in Deuteronomy chapter 4, he prophesied to us that if we don't keep his commandments, the time's going to come that the Lord's going to scatter us among the nations. And now we're going to be the minority among the heathen where the Lord shall lead us, that the Lord's going to bring us here. So are we still thinking about, especially here in America, it's about voting. It's about we had to get our own land. We had to create, support black business as much as that's the cry and the trumpet of a lot of these a lot of our leaders, you don't know anything about biblical history, obviously. When you got pastors in these churches telling us we need to go vote, we need what? Say what? Go vote. Y'all niggas are some sellouts. You really don't understand, for be a pastor, a reverend, an imam that's supposed to know the Bible, did you know if you understood biblical history and the history of the Israelites, all those things have been tried and done. And the reason that we're going through what we're going through, this is where the Lord had to step up his punishment to us because we would not do things his way. We refused to do it his way. And it's not like he didn't give us a chance to get things right. So here Moses prophesied, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 27. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28 now, verse 64 through 66. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 45, and then we're going to jump down to verse 64.
Con, Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 45 reads, "Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep
it." When we start at verse 15, we're not going to do it right now. If we start at Deuteronomy chapter 20 and start at verse 15, the Lord is giving a list of curses that we're going to go through for not obeying him, for not wanting to do things his way, for continuing to want to follow our own opinion, our own imagination, and by looking at how the nations do things and wanting to be like the nations, wanting to honor the nations, wanting to be citizens of the other nations. That there was a list of consequences and punishments that we are going to have to go through. Then we get to verse 45, and now he's got to increase it that much more. Just like from Leviticus 26, now he's giving us the increase of the punishment. Now, again, that's verse 45. We're going to jump 20 verses. There's 20 verses that we're about to jump right now, or 19 verses, of the Lord continuing to tell us what kind of curses and what kind of punishments we're going to face because of our rebellion, because of our stiff-neckedness and stubbornness. I refuse to change. I'm going to stay this way until somebody hears me. Jump down to verse 64. And again, America ain't the first time we've gone through this. Verse 64.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 64 reads, "And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone." 65. "And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. But the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind." 66. "And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life."
America ain't the first time we've experienced this. For all the panic attacks, for all the depression, for all the paranoia, for all the anxiety that we suffer as a people for the things that we've been through, for the things that we've had to experience. This ain't the first time. America is not the first time, brothers and sisters. This is not the first time. This ain't the first time that we, as a nation of people, had to deal with this. But why are we having to deal with this? We don't want to do things God's way. And the Lord warned us over and 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 over again. And now we're sitting right smack dab in the middle of it here in America, in the Americas. But it's not like God never warned us that we want to sit here and be like, "Why me? I didn't do nothing." Shit. I'm sorry. It's AM. I'm sorry. We have been doing this to God. And again, this ain't the first time we've had to experience this. This ain't the first time. The Lord has been warning us for years, centuries. He's been increasing the punishments that he levied against us to try and get us to repent before it got to this level. Before it got here, he was always trying to warn that like a parent does a child, don't make me get up. Don't make me get up. If I get up, you ain't going to like it. So what do? As little spoiled brat-ass kids, we made God get up. We didn't believe he ain't going to do nothing. He ain't going to do nothing. All I can do is say, I'm sorry. All I can do is, you know, bat my eyes, cry real loud. He'll forget. Warning after warning, centuries after centuries, God continued to send his prophets to us. Get right. And having increased the punishments to us. It finally got to the point now, he's warning us. I'm going to scatter you among the people. You're going to get the hell out of my land. Just like a parent says to a child, you're going to get the hell out of my house. You got to go. You're going to sit up here, going to eat every damn thing, ain't helping out, ain't contributing, ain't doing a damn thing. You got to go. You don't respect none of the house rules. You got to go. This is not going to work. This is what the Lord God is doing to the has done to the nation of Israel. But we're going to find out. We've had to go through this many times. To where now, yeah. Do you know what it means to be the minority? That means your opinion doesn't matter. When you're the minority in a situation, you're damn right. That means your opinion, what you think, what you got to say, doesn't matter. This is what the Father has us Israelites going through because, again, it got stepped up to this level. It got stepped up to this level because we refused to listen while we were still in our land. And for all the captivities we went through within our land, it had to get to the point now, we got to be scattered. We got to be scattered. Till now, our lives are going to hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear it day and night, and shall have no assurance of thy life. You damn right. And this is the curse that is going to be upon the whole nation. All 12 tribes, no matter where you live in the city, you live in the country, you live in the ghetto, you live wherever. This is going to be the fate of what we go through. That's why everybody says, "Well, your life ain't promised, man." God can call you at any time. Hey, YOLO, you only live once. These are the things that we've come over here living in America at this time. And the reason that is damn near the common vocabulary among us, no matter what socioeconomic branch you live in, because we're the Israelites. Because we are the Israelites. From there, bro, let's go to Jeremiah, chapter 9, verse 16.
Come on. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 16 reads, I will scatter them also among the heathen, whom neither they nor their fathers have known, and I will send a sword after them till I have consumed them.
Come on, y'all. Another prophecy. Another prophecy that we're going to finally kick out the land, and for everything while we were in the land of Israel, we thought we had safety. We thought we were safe, secure. I know this place. I'm never going to leave this place. That this is my home. And I can do what I want in my home. I can live how I want because it's mine. I know my land. I know my streams. I know every nook and cranny of my land. And I've got food stockpiled. I've got an armory stockpiled. I've got castles in my cities that I'm not going to change. We don't get it. We didn't get it. The Lord had a prophecy, had all these prophecies against us. Let's go to Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 3. The book of Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 3.
Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 3 reads, Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits.
Finding no rest. How many of us keep talking about how tired we are? From chronic fatigue syndrome? I'm just mentally drained. I'm just tired. Why does everything got to be a fight? That if I don't have a drink before I go to bed, I can't sleep. I got insomnia. I go to sleep and I wake up and I got no rest. I got from restless leg syndrome to sleep apnea to where my body can't really sleep because I stop breathing while I'm at sleep. While I'm sleeping, I stop breathing and the body's got to choke itself or do whatever to shake me back into breathing again. So I wake up exhausted. I'm worried about bills. I'm worried about somebody breaking in. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about germs. I'm worried about another bill collector. I can't find no rest. The Lord did this to us by increments. By increments. Because we wouldn't obey. We would not obey. We can't want to do things what seem right to us. And this has gone on for this went on for centuries before he finally kicked us up out of the land. From there, we're in the book of Lamentations. Let's read Lamentations chapter 4, verse 15.
Lamentations chapter 4 and verse 15 reads, They cried unto them, Depart ye, it is unclean. Depart. Depart, touch not. When they fled away and wandered, they said among the heathen, they shall no more sojourn there.
The prophets was warning us Israelites. Everything that we're doing is unclean. And if we keep it up, we're going to be scattered among the heathen. Did we listen? Hail to the Nah. Now we're among the heathen, and now we're doing nothing but crying, and we want civil rights. We want health care. We want more job opportunities. We want better schools. We want to be recognized that we're human. No, we don't. Because when God was trying to warn us before this happened, we didn't want to listen. We didn't think it was going to happen. Matter of fact, many of the prophets, when they told us these things, we killed the prophets. Not want to hear this. Don't tell me that I ain't going to be in my land, that I'm going to be kicked out of my house, that I can't do what I want to do in my land, in my city. You ain't going to tell me nothing. All right, cool. And the prophets were slain, put to death for trying to warn Israel what God was going to do to us. We didn't want to hear it. We did not want to hear it. And where are we at right now? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 14 through 16. Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 14 through 16.
Ezekiel chapter 12, starting at verse 14, reads, And I will scatter toward every wind all that are about him to help him and all his bands, and I will draw out the sword after them. And they shall know that I am the Lord when I shall scatter them among the nations and disperse them in the countries. But I will leave a few men of them from the sword, from the famine, and from the pestilence, that they may declare all their abominations among the heathen whither they come. and they shall know that I am the Lord.
That the Lord, that again, we're going to be scattered like the wind. And everybody that was helping us, they ain't going to be no help. So again, when we're sitting here and just worried that just feel alone, I've got no help. This ain't an individual going through this. This is, that means all of our people looking for security, looking for some type of protection. That's why we think if we get more guns, if I get more money, if I get more drugs, if I work out like a damn demon, that I got no help. What's the one thing that most black men teach their sons? You got to do for you because ain't nobody going to help you.
Right.
You got to pull up your boots by your own bootstraps because ain't nobody going to help you. Why? When the law of God is what? Love thy neighbor as you love yourself. That's the law of God. But because we don't want to obey that, now we're left with this lesson. You got to do for you because no one's going to help you. And it's not like we didn't get this warning long before it got to this point. Because we didn't want to keep God's laws. We maliciously disobeyed his laws to want to follow our own minds, my own way of thinking. I want to think outside the box. I got to be different. Yes, I'm different. Negro, please. Now we ain't got no help. Now we're at a point where we ain't got no help. And we've been scattered among the nations. But the Lord said he's going to do what? I'm going to leave a remnant. I'm going to leave a few men that are going to do what? Tell us why we're going through what we're going through. I'm going to leave a few. They're going to open this Bible up and show that this is why we keep going through what we're going through. This is why this keeps happening. Because we keep sinning as a nation. Not just you as a person. We as a nation, we keep sinning. We don't get it right. From there, we're in Ezekiel. Let's get chapter 20 and verse 23.
Come. Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 23 reads, I lifted up mine hand unto them also in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the heathen and disperse them through the countries.
When God raises his hand, just like when you go to court, you got to raise your hand. You're swearing that this is going to happen on God, on all that I love. God raised his hand and said, I lift up my hand, he's swearing to himself. And this is why we were in the wilderness. That 40 years we were in the wilderness before we got to the promised land. Just after leaving Egypt, I promise you, I'm going to scatter y'all among the heathen. I'm going to disperse y'all through the countries. I promise y'all, keep it up. Keep this up. Watch what I do. Say I won't. You know, like they say in church, won't he do it? Won't he do it? Yes, he will. And yes, he has. Now we find ourselves scattered among the heathen. Now we don't know which way is up. But I know one thing. We don't know where our help is coming from. I know one thing. We all got some type of fear. Our life hangs in doubt. I know these for sure. I know we're the minorities. I know we're looking for better food, better jobs, better resources. I know this, that we're going through these type of things as a nation. That we can go from here in America to Jamaica, and guess who's living in the same type of conditions, in poverty and the lower socioeconomic class? Our people that are in Jamaica. We go to South America, Brazil. Who's living in the ghettos and the slums and experiencing the same things that we suffer here in America? our people that are in Brazil, or in Argentina, or in Chile, or in Mexico, or in Guatemala, or in Ecuador, or in Costa Rica, San Salvador,
Uruguay,
Chile, Bolivia, Colombia, that we're going through the exact same situation. We're on the social economic bottom. Our life hangs in doubt. We're the minority. We got no opinion. Our opinion doesn't matter. We can't vote. Our vote doesn't matter. We're all going through these things because it was warned to us many times that this is going to be the result of us as a people not obeying the Lord our God. From there, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 15. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 15.
Come. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 15 reads, "And I will scatter thee among the heathen and disperse thee in the countries and will consume thy filthiness out of thee."
So why did God scatter us? Why are we living among the heathen and suffer the things that we're suffering? This is supposed to be get the filthiness out of us. Let me put it in more layman's terms, in more modern day terms. But I'm over my 50, so I'm gonna go back to a term that was used when I was in my dad's house, in my mom's house. I'm gonna beat the hell out of you. I'm gonna beat the devil out of you. So why has the Lord got the Israelites scattered among the heathen, and we keep suffering and going through the things that we're going through to beat the filthiness out of us? That hopefully we will finally get to the point where we are tired of living this way. We're tired of suffering the way we're suffering. That we might finally now come back together and be, hold up, why does this keep happening to us? Why are we going through what we're going through? Because we're the Israelites. Because we're the Israelites that were married to God at Mount Sinai. That are the children of God. That refuse to do things His way. That's why we, as a people, are suffering. While we're scattered among the heathen. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 14.
Zechariah chapter 7 and verse 14 reads, "But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate."
Because we messed up the promised land. So we got scattered like a tornado. I know people have seen, we've seen images of tornadoes when they rip through a city, how you see debris just being ripped and thrown everywhere. But we see semi-trucks, 18-wheeler trucks, weighing some 15,000 pounds, 10,000 pounds, being picked up like candy, like a straw, like a piece of paper, and just thrown everywhere. This wreaking havoc and chaos. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Why? We refuse to obey. And this was a result, again, of the punishments having to be stepped up gradually. The reforms that were put in place that we refuse to listen to. From there, bro. Let's go to Leviticus.
Come.
Chapter 20 and verse 22. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 22.
Come. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 22 reads, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out."
We shall therefore keep all God's statutes and all God's judgments. Again, what is God's judgment? God's opinion. What God's opinion is about what is right, what is wrong, what is evil, what is good, what is filthy, what is not. We're supposed to keep God's opinion. We're supposed to keep all of God's opinions and do all of God's opinions. If not, the consequence is that what? It's going to get to the point that the land is going to spew us out. What does the word spew mean?
It means to spit out, or to, you know, when you say you have a mouthful of water and you, like, you know, and spew it out, it comes out in a, you know, or actually, we can actually get the definition real quick.
Let's do that.
All right. Bear with me real quick. Phone's moving a little. There we go. Okay. The definition of spew: to expel or eject. Saliva, phlegm, sputum from the mouth.
Wow. I'm thinking about how does a person clear the phlegm, get the phlegm out of his throat?
It takes a bringing up, you know.
Right, that you that.
Yeah, that. You know, that clearing.
That you, like, you're using your breath to scrape the phlegm off the side, that you want to get rid of everything that's in your throat. So you can spit it as far away from you as possible. Not spit like just a little bit of dribble, so it might still be on the chin. See, no. You're trying to get phlegm. You're trying to get it all so it can kind of form like into a ball in your mouth. So you can spit it and get it as far away from you as possible. Because it makes you sick. You're disgusted at it. What did the Father tell us? What did he want the Israelites? You should therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. Let's get Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 25 and 26.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verse 25?
25 and 26, right.
Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 25 reads, "The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. Any thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away."
That again, so we'll be at a point where there's nobody, no one to help. Never die alone. That this is gonna be the fate of many Israelites. That I've got nobody. I'm going to die alone. I'm going to die by myself, and nobody cares about what happens to me. This was the fate that we're going through, but this got stepped up by increments. Again, I don't want to lose the point. I want to make sure that we're still understanding that all this had to be stepped up. All this had to increase, these punishments. America wasn't the only place this happened. All right? This is not the only place that this happened. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 28. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 28.
Come. Deuteronomy chapter 29, chapter 27 and 28.
Well, Deuteronomy chapter 29, just verse 28.
Just verse 28. Come. And the Lord rooted them out of their land in anger and in wrath and in great indignation and cast them into another land as it is this day.
If this ain't the truth, and again, this is a prophecy that we're going to be rooted out of our land in God's anger and in God's wrath and in God's great indignation and cast into another land as it is this day. That it got to the point where all the punishments up until the point where we had not yet been kicked out of the land, that our cities have been lying waste, the crops not coming through, that we had other kingdoms and countries come in and have us in captivity while we were in our own land. But because of our sins, because of our behavior, it finally got to the point we had to be kicked out of the land according to all God said was going to happen. For the centuries that God was warning us Israelites, I'm going to kick you out the land. Here, I'm putting you on captivity again. Okay, y'all repent. Cool. Keep things together or you're going to be kicked out of the land. You're going to be, what's that when you get kicked out of your house?
Evicted.
Y'all going to get evicted. This is going to happen. You're not keeping up with the rules of what it takes. Let me say like this. You're not keeping with the community standards. You're not living by the community standards or by the HOA or whatever you might want to say. And if you don't get these things right, and we've given you these fines, and we've done this, and we've done that, and you still refuse to comply, then you're going to have to go. This is God's message to the Israelites while we were still in the land. Now it's finally to that point. Now we're finally to that point and going over this Israelite history. We now had to be kicked out of the land. We've been through captivities. We've been through taxation without representation. We've been through all that while we're in the land. We've been through our crops being the droughts, our crops being destroyed, our enemies coming and taking the best of our crops, leaving us very little, while we were still living in the land because we still didn't want to get it right. Now, God's got to keep his promise. Now it has to get to the point where God's got to keep his promise. Now we got to go. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 1 through 6. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 6.
Come on. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses, starting at verse 1.
Come.
Reads, in the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Elah, the reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Most High, or in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him. Against him came up Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, and Hoshea became his servant and gave him presents. And the king of Assyria found conspiracy in Hoshea, for he had sent messengers to So, king of Egypt, and brought no present to the king of Assyria, as he had done year by year. Therefore, the king of Assyria shut him up and bound him in prison. Then the king of Assyria came up throughout all the land and went up to Samaria and besieged it 3 years.
All right, cool. So here we have one of our kings. At this time, it's King Hoshea. And this is after the split of the kingdom of Israel, where we had now two kingdoms. The northern kingdom that was called Israel and the southern kingdom that was called Judah. We were set tripping in our own land. If I use the terminology, we had civil war and beefs in our own land to where there was a split. Going back in hip hop, the Jay-Z and Biggie, the Tupac and Biggie, battle, nothing new. Nothing new. Crimson Bloods, Latin Kings and Sorlenios or Nontanios or whatever the hell's going on. None of this is new. We were doing this type of BS while in the promised land. Cool. Didn't want to get it right. The kingdom split. We had the northern kingdom of Israel, southern kingdom of Judah. Not a problem. Cool. Now this is going on. Now, while we were split because of our sins, here we got Hoshea, king of Israel, comes up and pisses off Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria.
The king of Egypt, right?
Shalmaneser was king of Assyria.
Yep, king of Assyria. Con.
Now, because, again, we're in our land and we're being made subject to have to pay tribute and taxes and be in captivity to the people, nations, and kingdoms around us. Now here Hoshea comes up with the idea that, okay, cool, I'm subject to Shalmaneser, I'm subject to the Assyrians, but you know what? I'm going to try and go around them, and I'm going to try and get help from Egypt. I'm going to try to take some matters in my own hands and see if I can get the Egyptians to come and help so I ain't got to keep paying these taxes. So I ain't got to keep paying Shalmaneser. Shalmaneser hears about it. It's like, oh, for real? Fact. Now, Shalmaneser comes and besieges and goes to war with Samaria for 3 years. This is God doing this. Again, having all this step up because Hoshea did in verse, what verse was that? What verse was that? Verse 2.
Okay, yeah, it was 2. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 2 reads, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel that were before him.
He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Cool. So in all your plans and all your setting this up, setting that up, and at the time it seems like wisdom and what have you, it wound up being your downfall. So now you didn't give Shalmaneser an excuse to come up and go to war against Samaria for 3 years. Verse 6, please. Verse 6. 2 Kings 17, verse 6.
In the ninth year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Halah and in Habor by the river of Gozan and in the cities of the Medes.
So now, what's going to finally happen? From the time that we came out of Egypt, finally under Joshua possessed the promised land, now, from all the captivities that we had to face while in the promised land, all the servitudes that we had to face while in the promised land, now it's gotten to the point, all the prophecies about us being going to be scattered, kicked out, spewed out of the land, now it's taking place. Now the Israelites are being kicked out of the land. After all this time, it's finally happening. Right? Why? Because the Israelites were just, you know, we were just being so innocent, being so pure, and people just came and just did this to us. 2 Kings chapter 17, start of verse 7.
2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 7 reads, for so it was that the children of Israel had sinned against the Lord their God, which had brought them up out of the land of Egypt. from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and had feared other gods. And walked,
brother, keep reading.
Con. 8. And walked in the statutes of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out from before the children of Israel, and of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. And they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchmen to the fenced city.
And the children of Israel did secretly those things that were not right against the Lord their God. I hope we caught some of these things secretly. I'm gonna keep doing things my way. I'm gonna go ahead and I ain't gonna tell nobody. God, I know they're gonna be tripping and I'm gonna hear that shit. So I'm gonna keep doing things secretly that God doesn't like, as if God don't see what's going on. Okay. Going to these type of parties, worshiping this type of God. You know, so I creep. Yeah, just creeping on the down low. Okay. All right, cool. Bet. Verse 10.
Con. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 10 reads, and they set them up images and groves in every high hill and under every green tree. And there they burnt incense in all the high places, as did the heathen, whom the Lord carried away before them and wrought wicked things to provoke the Lord to anger.
Part of this incense that was being burned, the same thing with the strange incense that Aaron's sons had brought to the Lord, the same type of sacrifice came from the very beginning of the vegetation of the field that he brought to the Lord, was sage and cannabis. We think smoking weed is something new. Getting high is something new. We've been doing this dumb stuff secretly. Reading on.
Con 12. For they served idols whereof the Lord had said unto them, ye shall not do this thing.
You know, idols like Snoop Dogg, how much he smokes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Mike Tyson, how much he smokes. Like every NBA All-Star, including Michael Jordan, how they smoke weed and smoke cigars and try to hide it. Just smoking, you know, Newports or whatever. That this is idolized. That I'm just following what my idols do. This is how I relax. This is how I calm down. This is how I deal with the pain and stress of everything I'm dealing with. Like Dave Chappelle. Like, what was that running back name from back in the day?
From,
he played for UT Austin, but he wound up being, maybe he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated with Mike Ditka wearing a fucking dress. Dress.
Ricky, oh, okay. Okay, Con, Ricky Williams.
Let's keep reading.
Con, 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 13 reads, yet the Lord testified against Israel and against Judah by all the prophets and by all the seers, saying, turn ye from your evil ways and keep my commandments and my statutes according to all the law which I commanded your fathers and which I sent to you by my servants, the prophets. Notwithstanding, they would not hear, but hardened their necks like to the neck of their fathers that did not believe in the Lord their God. And they rejected his statutes and his covenant that he made with their fathers and his testimonies, which he testified against them. And they followed vanity and became vain and went after the heathen that were round about them concerning the Lord had charged them that they should not do like them.
Brother, we're going to read all the way through 21, so go ahead.
Con. And they left all the commandments of the Lord their God and made them molten images, even two calves, and made a grove and worshipped all the host of heaven and served God.
Like the Zodiac?
Con.
That really getting caught into madness like that? Reading on.
17. And they caused their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire and used divination and enchantments and sold themselves to do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger.
You know, superstitions, that we trust more in superstitions, more than we trust in God, more than we trust in what the Bible says. This is why we were in the land of Israel. Read.
18. Therefore, the Lord was very angry with Israel and removed them out of his sight. There was none left but the tribe of Judah only. Also, Judah kept not the commandments of the Lord their God, but walked in the statutes of Israel, which they made. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin.
Keep reading.
For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day.
And Israel was carried away out of the land to Assyria unto this day. That this finally now became the culmination of the sins of the Israel, particularly now the Northern Kingdom. Then now we were finally spewed, kicked out, rooted out in anger out of the Promised Land. Kicked out of the Promised Land, thrown out of the Promised Land, like a bouncer in a bar throws somebody out.
Or exile,
like the old Western, when the old Western would kick somebody out the bar and they had to go through the window,
like blazing saddles,
right?
Bow, glass framing half the wall that was the window was in, and your ass outside.
Right. You gotta go. Look. Now I'm gonna read this. I got this. This is from. I'm gonna read a commentary, and I heard the time is over, but I'm gonna read this, and then we'll end it for today. I'm gonna go with this commentary from. This is from the Annotated Bible. This is from the Annotated Cambridge Bible. It's a commentary, a synopsis of what we just read. All right, and it's going over 2 Kings chapter 17 verses 1 through 41, and it's dealing with Assyria conquers Israel, and the captivity. Dealing with 2 Kings chapter 17. The first point, Hosea is Israel's last king. All right, that's the first point. That for the northern kingdom of Israel, the last king that was in Israel, and we're talking about Judah, Benjamin, Levi. Then we're talking about Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, Naphtali, and Issachar. We're talking about the last king of the northern kingdom of the so-called Dominicans, Simeon. Judah, Benjamin, and Simeon. From the Dominicans to the so-called Mexicans. I'm going to leave it easy with that. The last king that we had in Israel. I'm sorry, what are you saying?
No, I said from actually what actual Levi through Issachar, right, was the northern kingdom.
But Levi was split.
Okay, con. So the nine and a half. Okay, so
nine and a half, right. So, the last king that we had in the promised land was Hosea. And we followed him completely, and this is why God finally got to the point that was the last straw. Then we're dealing with Shalmaneser and prisons Hosea. Then the next point of 2 Kings chapter 17 is Israel is going to be carried away into captivity. And this is the first time and the last time that the Northern Kingdom was heard from. It was done. That we're now finally being carried away into captivity. That's outside of our land. That we're now being scattered among the heathen, scattered among the kingdoms, rooted out of our land in anger. Right? Then we're dealing with the retrospect and Israel's sins and then the colonization of Samaria, which we're not going to deal with today. So Israel's last king was Hosea. His name means deliverance. It indicates what might have been had he and the people repented of their sins. Amazing. It says the record of his character is brief. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings of Israel before him. This does not mean that he improved. The golden calves had been taken away by the Assyrians from Bethel and Dan so that he could no longer sin like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and the other kings of Israel. So when it says that Hosea did evil in the sight of the Lord, but not as the kings that were before him, he couldn't go worship the golden calves because Shalmaneser had already came and took them away. So he couldn't go to them. But best believe it, if they'd been there, he would have went to try to go to them. But they were taken away. All right? So there's a little bit more to the story. It goes a little bit deeper. Because, you know, we as Israelites, we want to come back with that, well, at least. Don't I get some credit? Right. Ain't you going to see that at least I didn't do this? Come on, stop. Like, God is that stupid. Reading on. Hosea had predicted, and Hosea the prophet had predicted that this was going to happen when we read Hosea chapter 10, verses 5 through 8. Let's get that real quick, all right? Could you please give me Hosea chapter 10, verses 5 through 8?
Con. Chapter 10, verses 5 through 8, Hosea.
Yes.
Con. Hosea chapter 10, starting at 5, reads, "The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoiced on it for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jerob. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water." Damn. "The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us."
That's verse 8?
That was verse 8. Keep going.
I'm going to read on. Going back on with the commentary. It says, "Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, then came against him, and Hosea became his servant. The biblical account is meager, but the Assyrian inscriptions have a great deal to say about this period. Shalmaneser's name is given in the inscription as Salamu Yusir, and Hosea as Ayusi. From the inscriptions, we learn that after the siege of Samaria had lasted 2 years, Shalmaneser was succeeded by Sargon, who took Samaria in the first year of his reign. When Sargon is not mentioned in the record, here it is significant that the capture of Samaria is not attributed to Shalmaneser. Both passages in 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 6, and in 2 Kings chapter 18, verses 10 through 11, speak only of the king of Assyria. These inscriptions declare that Sargon captured Samaria, led away 27,290 of its inhabitants and appointed a governor over Samaria. There is also a record of the deportation of Israel and the colonization of the land. What would these interesting ancient inscriptions mean if it were not in the Bible? Again, we say they are proven true because of the word of God confirms them. Hosea had, after he had become the vassal of the king of Assyria, made a conspiracy against the king by sending messages to So, king of Egypt, and then he refused to pay the tribute. The proper reading of So is given as Siv or Saba by the Greeks. He is called Saba or Khan on the monuments. Sabaka in cuneiform inscriptions or Shabai. He was imprisoned, and we hear nothing whatever of his fate from Hosea chapter 10 verse 7. Tells of his death. Samaria completely in the hands of the king of Assyria. The people were carried away captives into Assyria. Then it reads, Thus ended the kingdom of Israel. Out of the 19 kings which reigned, Out of the 19 kings which reigned, 7 were murdered. 1 died from wounds received on the battlefield. 1 died from a fallout of a window. 1 was struck down by the judgment of God, and 1 committed suicide. I just wanted to read that, y'all, that damn, for all the wickedness that we've been doing. Let me see if I got this. No, that was Babylon. There's a scripture, I'm not going to be finding it right now, but I believe there's a scripture that tells us that how long had it been from the time we came out of Egypt to the time the 9.5 tribes were finally kicked out of the land, how long that actual time of passage was, because it does actually tell us how long it was for once Judah is brought in captivity and also taken out of the land. Hold on, is it here? Brother Gabar, you got a little bit of time?
Yes, sir.
Let's do this then. Let's go to Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9, Chapter 4, and we're going to start at number 1. Let's go to Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9, Chapter 14, and we'll start at number 1. And what we're going to deal with, brothers and sisters, is I want to get this out the way. So please be patient as I want to get to this history for today. Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9, Chapter 14, Number 1. And we're going to deal with how Shalmaneser took Samaria by force and how he transplanted the 10 tribes into Media and brought the nation of the Kuthians into their country in their room. Brother, you got that?
Almost. Chapter 9.
Yeah, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9, Chapter 14. Okay. Now, this is where it's at. They're going to mention the time here.
Okay, time. All right. It's taking a little bit, but it's coming up here. Let's see. Paragraph 1.
Right, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9, Chapter 14, we'll start at number 1, yeah.
Con. Now when Caesar?
No. Are you in Book 9? Are you in Antiquities of the Jews, not War of the Jews?
Okay, Antiquities of the Jews, Book 9.
book 9. Book 9. Chapter. Quiet.
Okay, I got it. It's a Tokyo Jews on. For some reason, it's not doing it. Okay. 14. Okay. Here we are. I got it.
Okay.
It's a lot. How Shalmaneser took Samaria by force and how he transplanted the 10 tribes into Media and brought the nation of the Kuthians into their country. paragraph 1. It says, when Shalmaneser, the king of Assyria, had it told him that Hoshea, the king of Israel, had sent privately to So the king of Egypt, desiring his assistance against him, he was very angry and made an expedition against Samaria in the 7th year of the reign of Hoshea. But when he was not admitted into the city by the king, he besieged Samaria 3 years and took it by force in the 9th year of the reign of Hoshea. And in the 7th year of Hezekiah, king of Jerusalem, and quite demolished the government of the Israelites and transplanted all the people into Media and Persia, among whom he took King Hoshea alive. And when he had removed these people out of their land, he transplanted other nations out of Cutha, a place so called, for there is still a river of that name in Persia, into Samaria and into the country of the Israelites. So the 10 tribes of the Israelites were removed out of Judea 947 years after their forefathers were come out of the land of Egypt and possessed themselves of the country. But 800 years after Joshua had been their leader, and as I have already observed, 240 years, 7 months, and 7 days after they had revolted from Rehoboam, the grandson of David, and had given the kingdom to Jeroboam, and such a conclusion overtook the Israelites, when they had transgressed the laws and would not hearken to the prophets who foretold that this calamity would come upon them if they would not leave off their evil doings. What gave birth to these evil doings was the sedition.
But I just want to bring attention to the timeline.
Con.
So it said that we were finding the Israelites, the 10 tribes were kicked out of the land 947 years after our forefathers came out of the land of Egypt. So how many warnings did God give? How many captivities did we have to go through? How many punishments did we have to go through before God finally got fed up and we finally had to get kicked out of the land? Come on, y'all. 947 years? 947 years from Moses telling us, If we don't get right, this is going to happen. And then Joshua, we get into the promised land. And it was what from Joshua? 800 years after Joshua brought us into the land. And then 200, and this is, I love his countdown here. 240 years, 7 months and 7 days to the T. From when Israel had revolted from Rehoboam after the split of the kingdom, and we finally had the northern tribes finally had to get kicked out of the land. We really don't comprehend how stiff-necked and stubborn we really are. How we want to follow our own imaginations, our own opinions. We just want to do, we're stuck on stupid. Yeah, for all the Lord had been doing to try and get us to change and reform ourselves, we did not want to change. And now we're finally here in America. And, oh, we got to build up, brothers and sisters. We still got to go through the Babylonian captivity. We're still going to go through the Greek captivity and the Roman captivity. We got to still go through those things before and we are here, and now we still don't want to change? We still want to keep and follow our own opinions? We still are mad because we feel that our opinion ain't heard, that we can't speak and say what we want and think the way we want to think and be accepted for what we want to do? We still want to keep following and being like the nations. That's what got us here in the first damn place. And we're still thinking that we can find some type of economic solution. We're going to be able to find some economic recovery. We got to buy black. We got to support black businesses. We got to get our own land and grow our own crops and grow our own food. How much crops and how much food could we grow when we were in our own land? We still didn't get it right then. And guess what? While we were in our own land and we had our own, and we were growing our own crops, we had our own food, we had all organic, nothing, all alkaline, nothing acidic, nothing hybrid. Guess what? We still knew we were Israelites then. We were calling ourselves Israelites then. That didn't change things. We still wanted to follow our own imaginations. We still wanted to follow our own opinions. We still want to be recognized for our way of looking at things and our way of thinking that got us kicked out of the land eventually. Again, those numbers blow me away. 947 years. I got to highlight this. After we came out of Egypt.
That's a pretty long dispensation of time for long suffering, isn't it?
on God's part, yes.
Yes. Right. Puts it in perspective.
Cool. So you know what? We're going to end it with that. We're going to end today's class with that right there. I wanted to get through that. And then tomorrow we're going to dive into the Babylonian captivity, which is going to bring us into the Greek, which is going to bring us into the Roman. And then when we get to the Roman captivity, we're going to be there for it. But that's probably going to be a two-part series. We actually get into that and how we got kicked out in 70 AD. This is what that meant. And us finally being kicked out of the land. All I can say is, everything that we've suffered, and I know this is going to hurt a lot of people's feelings. Everything that I ain't going to say we suffered. Everything that we've gone through here in America, We deserve every last thing that's happened.
That's the cue for the
how do we go through? And this how much more stupid niggas are. I gotta say it like that. We just go back into the history. We're watching the Northern Kingdom of Israel being kicked out of the land and brought into slavery and captivity. We see these. We actually witness this, but did we change? We witnessed this happen around 722 BC, 722 years before Christ. The Southern Kingdom of Judah, involving Judah, Benjamin, Levi, so-called Negroes, West Indians, and Jamaicans, and so-called Haitians. We watched this happen. We watched what God did to the Northern Kingdom. And we still didn't change until finally we had to be kicked out of Israel in 70 AD. How much more stupid and dumb are we that not only do we have the Northern King for the example to get right, we still refuse. So now we had to finally be kicked out of our land and brought over here. So that's why I say it's not like we didn't have warnings. It's not like we weren't told. It's not like we didn't have time to get our things together, to get our stuff together. So, again, I'm going to end today's class with that. Brother Gabar, any final words what do you call that? A synopsis of today's class or whatever?
Only this. Because you made a very good point earlier about what was important to Israel, and that was our own what we came up with, taking things into our own hands, worshiping what we wanted to worship. I'm going to suggest that our people that are wearing these Black Lives Matter, think about it and maybe change the saying that's on the shirt to the word of the Lord matters, and then put on the back of the shirt Proverbs 16 and 7. Is it Proverbs 16 and 7? When your Lord's way, when you sleep?
Yep.
Then, you know, we may get the understanding that it's not about Black Lives mattering. It's about the Lord and his word mattering to us Israelites.
Times.
And that's all I have to say on that.
Brother, I like that. That it's going to be more, what's his name, Tyrone Nichols? It's gonna be more of this type of things going on. It's not gonna get better. It's only gonna get worse. It's only gonna get worse. It's not gonna get better. We're suffering these afflictions and these vexations and the things we're going through because we as a nation, not the end of it, we as a nation, we're not getting our shit together. We're not confessing to the Lord our God what the things that we're doing wrong as a nation, the things that we walk contrary to him, and asking for forgiveness and for him to send a savior and deliver. That one being who the world calls Jesus Christ. So, Brother Gabar, the water for help me reach here, brother. When the scripture says two are better than one, the water. It helped energize me, helped give me some energy to with this fast. Thank you. It's the water. Much appreciated.
I underbar, and a pleasure also. And also, you know the scripture. Read Romans 12:1. Reasonable service.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. All right, brothers and sisters. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Today is Monday. If you today is Monday. What is it? Monday, February 13th. Please tune in tonight to ISBHBK, either San Antonio, ISBHBK, Houston. Join one of the classes if you happen to be in the area. Go to our school in Norfolk. Go to the school in Houston. Go to the school in Rochester. Actually, go to the school in San Antonio. Actually, go there. If not, you can tune in to any one of our YouTube channels to catch the classes, to stay in touch, stay informed. Or any Hebrew Israelite congregation that you might be around from the Moshe Yeshua Allah, from the 12 tribes, from the Light of Zion, from the Ambassador of Christ, from Believers of the Way, from Zakari, from the House of David, from the Mount Zion, from the Sons of Thunder, the Lions of Israel. There's so many camps out here. I mean, it's almost impossible for you not to damn near step outside and run into some type of Hebrew Israelite. Congregate, come together. All right? It's that time, Israel. It's that time for us to actually now start coming together and start doing right by the Most High. Cool. So with that, my name is Mashaba.
Well, my name is Zabar Kawa.
And for the ISBHPK, we would like to say shalom.
Shalom.
Yes.